Lord, open up your word to us today. We thank you for it. May our hearts be enthralled by who you are and that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Does there still exist in Christmas a message for mankind that will meet our needs? In this year, 2022, and the last few years, and we've seen just chaos in our country, in an undoing of all that we know and hold to be true and dear? Is there a message that goes far beyond just one day of the year? A message of something real? Not one that is all commercialized and filled with porcelain? Or has the message of hope passed away? And in its place, we cover up our needs with our commercialism, Santa Claus, guilt buying, and for one day we just kind of set aside our hurts and our desires. Is there something left in Christmas and its message that will satisfy an empty heart, a broken spirit, a battered and bruised family, something that's there for every day of the year of our lives? I'm glad this morning that the message of Christmas has never changed. Doesn't matter who sits in power in the various throne rooms and the offices of our world, there's one who sits as king over everything. And he's the one that's still in control. He dictated when Jesus would come. I was thinking about that this week, how that had to, I don't know, God had to be thinking about that. I'm sending my son down there to those people. And I know it's going to happen. Jesus did too. But remember what the writer says in Hebrews, that he looked across to the other side and he endured all that with the joy. And so that message has never changed. It doesn't matter who it dictates and who says what. It's what God says. And the Christmas message never changes. Even though the account is very familiar to us, the depth and the impact of the events of the birth of Christ still hold the answers for our needs. There is a message mankind needs to know, and we need to share that gospel of Christmas. The angel says the good news, the gospel, the euangelion, the angels and the message that they were giving says this is for all mankind. The day salvation's plan was set into motion. The day that God planned and orchestrated in his infinite wisdom to be at just the right time in history so that Jesus could fulfill all the prophecies about him and be executed in a way where he would have to shed his blood and be the sacrificial lamb. The birth of our Savior, the Lord, the message is still fresh, it's still powerful, and it still works. But what is the gospel of Christmas? Well, first of all, what we read about in the angel's encounter with the shepherds, the gospel of Christmas is a release from our fears. It's been said that most worry keeps folks so occupied with the little things that they miss the big ones. Fear of failure is all that keeps many people from realizing their dreams. The message of Christ and Christmas brings a real solution to any of those fears and problems and situations. Fears are part of life. They plague us until we find a solution. And if you turn to Luke chapter 2, a couple of verses there, verses 8 through 10, going back to the shepherds. It says, in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel, notice an angel in my Bible, I highlighted that because so many times before this, you would see the angel of the Lord, and the is capitalized. That was the pre-incarnate Christ coming in various times throughout the Old Testament. He couldn't come now because he's in a manger. He's in a feeding trough. And so this is an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Not a few, not a select few chosen ones, but for all the people. It's there. What is the angel's response here to these guys that were terrified like we probably would have been? I mean, you're sitting there minding your own business out in a dark field, and all of a sudden the sky lights up brighter than daylight, and there's all these angels hanging around, and one of them starts talking. Don't tell me you would just be sitting there, oh, this is awesome. This is really cool. No, you would be freaked out right to the max if that were to happen. Well, fear can be crippling and binding. It reaches all human beings. But what can be done about that? The gospel of Christmas was given. Man has tried himself to find a solution that really doesn't work because the answer is so much deeper than what man can go and where he can go. And God has said in his word that he takes his wisdom and he hides it from those people on earth that think they're so wise. And he reveals it to those that have faith and understanding. And so man has tried. And I quote this quote, a real victory over fear is not in anything we can do or even a minister or a psychologist can do for us, but in some sign given by the universe that the deep yearnings for health and companionship and peace, of which our fears are but a broken sign, are known and satisfied. That hopeless, bleak statement was given by an expert psychotherapist who supposedly should have all the answers, but doesn't. Yet Christmas is proof that such a sign was given. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he is going to be called Emmanuel. He is going to reign. He is going to rule. He's going to be that one who would deliver. So the solution to our despair, the solution to all the things that trouble us, our solution to all the things that get us down is Christ. And it's knowing and trusting him and what he said. Christ came. Christ is what faith was found, that faith was found in him by us. And he was there to be there to help us in our need. And he told us very plainly in Matthew chapter 6, stop fussing. I'm paraphrasing here. Stop fussing. Stop fretting. Stop being all tore up over all these things. Look at what God does for nature. Look what he does for the birds of the field. Look what he does for the... And he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness in verse 33. And all these things that you fuss about and worry about and stress about, all these things will be added to you. Let today's own trouble be sufficient for the day, said in verse 34. So Christ came. Christ is what faith has found him to be. And there's no need for us to crash and burn. And so, but it takes a choice. We have to make the choice. You can worry and fret about it, but why not choose Christ instead and do it his way? Some of the first words in the scripture concerning Jesus are these words in Luke chapter 1, when another astounding thing took place. Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. I mean, here's Mary minding her own business. Everything's going along. Who knows what she was doing? Maybe she was getting a meal. Maybe she was helping at home her mom. Maybe she was doing some other things. And it says, all of a sudden, this angel burst forth with a message for her. And then the angel told her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Don't let this trouble you. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. This message, I mean, you showing up. You showing up like this, and I'm just supposed to be comical. Then you're telling me, who has been pure and has been kept herself, I'm unmarried, and you're telling me I'm going to have a baby? Seriously? And he says, listen, just relax. It's all right. Trust. He knew what needed to take place. And that was the first time as this message of the fulfillment of all these prophecies was about to take place. Among the last words that are ascribed to the risen and the glorified Lord are what we find in Revelation chapter 1, as this book of Revelation, this gospel of Jesus really, he begins to unfold. And in verse 17 and 18 of Revelation 1, It says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. He laid his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, but look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. I'm in charge. They did what they did to me so that I could pay the price. I let that happen, but now I'm in charge again. Here's the keys to death and destruction. I have these things. Don't sweat it. Don't be afraid of it. Jesus taught us not to fear, but to replace it with love and trust in him. Christmas. Christmas's deep meaning is that at the center of this mysterious life of ours, and life can be mysterious at times, can't it? It's like, wow, what in the world's going on? There's a God who reigns and loves and cares for the least and the littlest of us. We can know release from those troubling things that bother us and cause us to come down as we let his love into our hearts and into our lives. And so as we do this, we can experience love. We can experience power as we respond to him with loving trust and obedience. This is reality. This is for today. This is for now for us to live. It's not some story that we're sitting up here talking about. It's not something about, well, you know, down the road, if you have time, get around to it. No, this is for now. This is for real. The second thing, the gospel of Christmas, is the gospel of joy. The many people of the world would like to know and have that joy. Millions and millions. Where is joy? If I could only have some joy. Joy is an attribute of deity. God is joy. And he sent his son to bring joy to the Christian. Joy goes way beyond happiness. Joy far supersedes all those things. Why? Because happiness, as we know, depends on what? Your circumstances. If everything goes right, if everything goes my way, if everything falls into place, I'm happy. But if it doesn't, I'm not happy. Get out of my way, because I'm not happy. The great thing about joy is that circumstances don't govern its operation. Joy just keeps on moving. Joy just keeps on doing its thing. Joy just keeps on doing what it's supposed to do in our lives, changing us and transforming us. You see, when joy is in our life, God is, and he comes in, and because he's there, the joy is there, circumstances do not or should not ever govern our lives. Shouldn't govern us. Joy is something Christ puts in our hearts that nothing can destroy. Joy is that inner confidence and satisfaction that we are in Christ. That 10th verse there in the second chapter of Luke, the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I'm proclaiming to you good news of what? A great joy that'll be for all people. And this great joy was brought to earth. And that great joy was what? The good news. It was the gospel. It was the word come in the flesh to us, the Logos, the living word, and the news of a Savior who would redeem mankind started the process. So what a note of joy must have rang out in the angels. Think about how joyful they were. They probably couldn't wait to be able to get there and burst forth that message to those shepherds. Not that they said, boy, are we going to freak these guys out? Let's do this in a big way, and we're going to scare them right out of their whatever they wore. And kind of a thing. No, they couldn't wait to share the joy. We have been pent up all this time. We can burst forth now with this message of joy to these guys that are faithfully watching their flocks, showing us, and Jesus, remember, would use the analogy of himself. I am the good shepherd. I take care of my sheep. I know my sheep. I know my flocks. I do what I can for them. And so he set the example. But they couldn't wait to share about the long-awaited Savior. The Messiah had been looked forward to for a long time, right from the Garden of Eden. Genesis 3:15, where the promise of a Savior was given. You won't find those exact words, but that's what it's talking about the head being bruised and the heel being bruised, and all these things happening was a prophecy about what was going to take place. And so we can have a joy in our hearts, the joy of Christmas, a joy that comes from a sense of Christ's love in our souls. If you look at John chapter 15, verse 11, it's important for us to see what Jesus says. And he's priming his disciples because they're getting ready to, he's getting ready to go to the cross and then leave. And he says this, he says, I have spoken these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. That's what he says. My joy, the joy of Jesus is going to be in us so that our joy can be complete. That's why no circumstances, no situations in life can or should affect our joy. If it does, it's because we're allowing it to. Because we've chosen to take our eyes off him, chose to take our eyes off the answer that he has for us. So what a privilege is ours to have the joy in our hearts, not just a joy, but his joy. That's the message, the gospel of Christmas. And then the gospel of Christmas is the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. I'm going to read a paraphrase of the Phillips translation of Luke chapter 2. It says, and in a flash there appeared with the angel a vast host of the armies of heaven, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, peace upon earth to men whom he loved. Peace is what the world is crying out so deeply to have. Tensions are rising all over the world. It shouldn't shock us. Jesus said, as the end draws near, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Read yesterday where Russia and China are doing all their saber rattling. They're getting together. China's doing exercises on the coast, off the coast of Taiwan, and they're doing these things. Russia's threatening us. You know, if you do things with Ukraine, we're going to do this with you. And all these things should affect us only in one way. Telling the lost around us, you better get your life right. Amen. Because you don't have forever to make this decision. And if you love the people around you, and it should trouble us at times, and at the end, I read something the other day, when the end came and the rapture took place, of course it's a scenario, so, you know, the person's rising slowly, which isn't going to happen, but the person left on earth is saying, you didn't care enough to tell me, and now I'm here. And off they went. That's a good analogy to what's going on with the people we know. We need to tell them. Don't mince words. Don't play games. We need to tell them. You need to make a decision. The most important thing in your life, you're not going to have forever. You're not guaranteed old age. You're not guaranteed those things. Peace is what the world is crying for. Only Jesus brings peace. Troops that are deployed in all over the world today helping to keep peace. People are crying for peace. Law enforcement helping to keep peace in our streets and to help keep civility around. All of those that are helping to try to do these things. But peace is what our hearts and our minds and our soul cries for. Just a little bit of peace. To be at peace with self, to be at peace with God, is a blessed place. You know, there's a difference between the peace of God and peace with God. There's the peace of God that's out there, but when we have the peace with God, it becomes personal. And now it's not out there, but it's in me, and I possess that peace. Peace is a reality. Peace in our hearts is no dream. It can happen now. God is the author of peace. And this is the good news of the gospel of Christmas. Christ in the New Testament is referred to with the phrase, he is our peace. And so you can have that peace today, the peace that he offers, the peace that came at Christmas because of who he is. In Jesus, again, in preparing his disciples for that separation, in John 14 and verse 27, he tells them, peace I leave with you. Notice, before he said, what did he give them? My joy I give you. Now, what's he saying here in this 27th verse? Peace I leave with you. my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. That's fickle peace. That's temporary peace. That's peace maybe. He says, not as the world gives. Your hearts must not be troubled or fearful. In other words, I'm giving you my peace for you to live and to have in your heart and in your life. So because of this, we don't need to fret. We don't need to be in a terror. We don't need to be always in a rushed panic state, because peace is Christ's particular gift to his people. Today, if you haven't done so already, you're probably going to open gifts. Just remember to open the gift of joy and the gift of victory and the gift of peace that he gives to us, and remember that they're there. His peace in our hearts. We can go through any trial as we trust him and walk with him. Peace comes when we know that our sins are forgiven and all the guilt is gone. And isn't that what we're told? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Purify us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. So our conscience is clean and at rest. Keep your conscience clean. That's your choice. He cleans it. You keep it clean by the way you relate to people, by the way you react to people, by the way you deal with those that are around you. Keep your conscience clean. Only Christ can and will do this in a life. No one would turn down an offer of peace. Peace that comes from God, would they? How about you? It's the gospel of Christmas. You say, I'd never turn it down. We turn it down when we refuse to let it into our lives. We're saying no to that when we refuse instead to fret and fuss and do all those other things. Release from our fears and our lack of joy and our lack of peace, the experience of his joy, the message of Christmas. What are you going to do with it? Where's it going to go in your life? How are you going to handle it? How are you going to spend some time thinking about it, allowing him to work in and through you during this time of year to equip you for the days ahead? The message of Christmas. Who do you say that he is? In Mark chapter 8, verses 27 and 28, 27 through 30, Jesus went out with his disciples to the village of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? They answered him, John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets. But you, he asked them, who do you say that I am? Peter answered him, you are the Messiah. And he strictly warned them not to tell no one about him until the time was ready. You see, he is Christ, the Lord, the only one who releases us and brings us joy and brings us peace. So let this gospel of Christmas into your heart, into your life. Live it every day of the year. Every day can be Christmas. Every day can be Easter. Every day can be that in our lives. Let the gospel of Christmas live. The blessed message of Christmas, yes, it's very real, and it's for us today. Thank God for his love expressed to us in Christ. And Paul said in Galatians, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Or in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Christmas reminds us, take time to reflect. And as you do, have a Merry Christmas. We thank you, Lord, for this promise fulfilled. We thank you that we can live it in our hearts, that we can live it in our lives. We give you thanks and we give you praise for who you are. On this Christmas day, we rejoice in you, thanking you for who you are and for what you've done. May we have a day filled with joy, filled with peace, filled with your presence as we share with those that are around us, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.